Dr. Octopus, Dr. Doom, and are we getting a new permanent legendary character? All of that and more coming up on your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. And if you're ready for that, Casino, tell them what to do, brother.
Let's go, 8-Bit.
Pally flying.
What is up, Valley Maniacs? Welcome to your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update, your source for all the latest in Marvel Strike Force. This week, I am joined by my brother, the original, the originator, Casino, joining us all the way from sunny Colorado. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing good. We're recording at night. It's not sunny right now.
Super sunny outside, right?
Yeah. Got that moonlight going on. But yeah, sorry. I meant to pack my good webcam and my headset with a good mic. Like, I literally like set it all aside and like made sure I had an adapter for the laptop and everything, and then left it on the floor on my way out.
This mic sounds great.
I'm glad the mic is good. The webcam, I'm in 8-bit, so I'm sorry. And also, I am in Colorado celebrating my birthday weekend. So if Woo-hoo! You are, yeah. So if you're in the, we got the air horns.
There we go, baby. Sound effects.
If you're in the Denver or Boulder area and you want to come say what's up, just PM me on Discord. I got some of the Marvel Strike Force exclusive comics for anyone that I do meet up with while I'm out here.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. And this is actually the last video that you will ever make in your 20s.
Actually, I'm planning on recording one more tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, the second to the last. Almost a very, very special video for you.
Sorry, man. You don't get that exclusive.
Very close, very close. All right. But let's start this off. And I hate to do this, and I use hate very, very loosely. Question, Squirrel Girl, she has been in the game for a little while now. Obviously, I'm assuming you have played with her in PvP, real-time PvP, in that balanced mode. Or maybe it's better, I don't know. Girl. But what have your thoughts changed? Wrong about Squirrel Girl? Is she actually a viable character here?
Okay, I never said she wasn't a viable character. I said she was a character. Sorry, you're gonna have to bleep that. I'm sorry.
Don't worry, the duck is coming out.
Yeah. Oh, well, don't you associate our Lord and Savior Howard the Duck with that?
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, use a different sound effect. Use like a horn or something.
That's a standard sound effect, dude.
I know, but that's an affront to Howard the Duck.
I'll get a squirrel chirping, all right? Squirrel chirping.
Perfect. Right. I like all it. Right. But anyway, so stream chat can be cruel sometimes. And actually, the day Squirrel Girl came out, they donated $1,000 for me to gear tier 14 my Squirrel Girl, set my avatar as Squirrel Girl, and cosplay as Squirrel Girl. A phrase I never thought I'd say. I'm trying to push my Squirrel Girl cosplay along as quickly as possible, but I don't have a date at this time. So, in talking about how good she is as a character, she makes the Young Avengers. So I did a ton of. I made a team tier list recently, which is new, and that took like hundreds of man hours of testing all the teams into each other and testing various things. Mm-hmm. Young Avengers, if I'm not mistaken, they came out, I'd have to double check, but they were either like somewhere between like the sixth and the eighth best team in the game, like just outside the top five. Admittedly, we were using Captain Marvel as the fifth because we were trying to do like the strongest version of each team that's still true to the team. So her being a hero brawler is, you know, it works. But so, yeah, on that, they are one of the best teams just because Squirrel Girl does so much healing, and Miss Marvel getting defense up as soon as she drops below 50% makes her so tanky. She already tanked really well. Now she gets the defense up and constant healing and cleanses. It's just crazy. So their sustain is pretty nuts. But anyway, back on Squirrel Girl to stay a little bit on track. I think she's a terrible character lore wise. Plot armor is not a superpower. And if you if you're gonna make a joke character, make it a funny joke. Not a fan of her as a character, but her kit in the game is pretty strong, and she makes the Young Avengers real good.
All right. Well, speaking of these Young Avengers, they have an event in the game for their key new member right now. this squirrel power event, the unbeatable education event in the game right now. Thoughts on this event and the orb that is associated with this event? The what is this called? The unbeatable orb fragments, or the unbeatable orb?
It's not that different from the other ones. I haven't actually run the math on this one, but the campaign orbs are usually the same or slightly worse each time. Yeah, you know, they're pretty standard. It's not like wildly better or worse than the previous ones. What I did find interesting about this event is I feel like in most events, whatever tag they invent for the, you know, the event itself, usually like you're like, all right, there's a lot of powerful characters in there. If you have most of the characters, you can assemble a really top tier team.
Yeah.
This one did not have a huge selection of high-end characters. Like, you know, if you're far enough into the game, it's still a very easy campaign to complete, but surprisingly bare bones selection of characters for this one.
You end up using, because it was a lot of pairs. I for me it was Corvus and Proxima, and I think Rocket and Groot, and then just somebody else. Who did you end up using
for this? I honestly have no recollection.
Highest characters, highest power characters, I guess.
I did it on stream, so you can go watch it, but okay. I don't remember. And also, so disclaimer, in case I say anything absolutely ridiculous during this episode, I slept for 2 hours the previous night because I had to wake up and catch my flight, and now I'm still awake late into tonight. So, woo! Yeah, I'm operating on very little sleep. So, if I blank on a name that I should know, or if I just say something really ridiculous, that's why. Sorry.
That makes me think of Dr. Doom when I saw that transition, but he is coming to the game. This was announced. We have not spoken about this publicly with each other about Dr. Doom. What are your thoughts on him coming to the game? And we'll get to Dark Dimension 4 in just a little bit.
All right, but yeah, so let's talk about Doom. So first off, shout out to Tony Scangeli. If you don't watch his content, check him out. He is the biggest Dr. Doom fanboy I know. So he is going to be jumping for joy. And I think Dr. Doom deserves the respect. Dr. Doom is a badass character. He's just super powerful. At one point, he was a literal god. In the comics, he's been a part of all sorts of ridiculous things, but he's got like technology, wealth, mystical power, just everything, like an army of robots. Like he's got it all. He just does crazy stuff. I think about one story in particular where Mr. Fantastic kept trying to cure Ben Grimm and he couldn't. And so Dr. Doom, just to give Mr. Fantastic a middle finger, figured out how to cure Ben Grimm, cured him, and then uncured him and made him go back to the thing just to show Reed Richards that he could do it. So also bear in mind, as badass as Dr. Doom is, he's also the guy that got beat up by Luke Cage. So like, if you think Dr. Doom is awesome, you're going to love Luke Cage.
All right. So he's a mean guy, so a villain. And Luke Cage is going to be his counter. Gear tier 15 is the requirements. It's not even accessible in the game yet. Most people, along with myself, thinking this is level 80 at least, maybe even level 85.
Yeah, I think they said it's level 80.
They did say that. Okay. So, yeah. What are your thoughts on this? Because some people are already complaining about the cost of going up from 14 to 15, and with most players not even having enough characters at gear tier 14. So what are your thoughts on this cost? Do you think they're going to expand the SBCs or any of these orange catalysts a little more when they announce this?
I mean, I think if people keep complaining about it, they will. They might make a little gesture of like, now that you need more, here's a new way to get a few more. We've increased this, but you know, they'll probably like increase the daily challenge that gives them by like, now you get 5 more with every challenge. Awesome. It's a lot, right? Yeah. Right, yeah, they'll do something like that.
We get 30 every month. We get 30 every month from the Flash event.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Maybe make that like 50. You only need
10 months. I could get an item 10 months from that Flash challenge. I could get one piece of gear.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
That's value. Or you can buy them.
What do you think they're going to do? They make the new bottleneck. Do you think they're just going to keep this as the bottleneck, make it the SBCs, or are they going to make it more prevalent and make something else the bottleneck? What are your predictions for that?
There's no way to say, because they look at like how fast are people progressing, how much are they willing to buy them and how mad are they that they're short on them? They try to strike that balance of like, you're just mad enough that you're not getting enough, but for the right priced offer, you'll be like, all right, I'll just buy this offer then, and I'm not that mad about it because I can get this cheap offer and it's fine. But where they screw up is when they like make it crazy rare and then they give you like a $40 offer for a terrible value. Like those gold credits, they make the gold promo credit super rare, but they're like, we'll give you 20 for $50. Everyone's like, blow it out your Are you joking? No.
But there's some people, that's why they keep doing those offers. There's some people that will buy those. Or there would be no offers like that.
I told you, there's some people who will buy anything. I don't want to name this person, but I know too many of the top whales. One of them made a comment to me one day where I was almost like, are you hearing yourself right now? Where they were trying to prep for DD3 at the time, and they literally wrote to me like, oh man, I bought every single offer for this, and it's a bummer that they don't have more offers for this. It sucks that I've bought all I can buy and I'm stuck until tomorrow. I was just like, you are sending the wrong message to them, my friend.
Patience.
But so Gear Tier 15 is going to be for milking whales, right? It's going to be gruelingly hard to get. Like nowadays, getting someone to Gear Tier 14 isn't as bad as it was. Gear Tier 15 is just going to be the cycle repeating itself. It's going to be crazy hard. Oh my God, this is going to take forever. Oh, I did the math. Look, it's going to take a year and a half to get the 5 characters. This is ridiculous. And it's just going to be whale milking. Then there'll be some expensive offers that'll fast track you a little bit. Then they'll loosen it up little by little, little by little, little by little. And, you know, like there are always those people who, even if it's like you have to average spending $150 a week to, you know, to get all of the offers for whatever it is, SBCs or whatever, there's always those people who are like, yeah, I'll do it. I want to be the first in DD4. I want to be the first with Doom. I'm in. 150 a week, sign me up.
I want my name on the wall of of the city node. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be mentioned in the movie theater stage. So let me just...
Anyway, back to my original question. It's a prediction. I know you don't know. But what do you predict? Do you think the SBCs are going to be the bottleneck? Because right now, for a lot of people, those are. Or do you think they're going to introduce something new, like they did with the uniques, like we did with the mini uniques for 13 and then 14 subsequently? So what do you think? Something else? Is there a mini unique coming?
I don't think we'll get new resources, but I got an interesting prediction. I think the SBCs will hurt. I think the amount of new mini uniques that they'll require, like original mini uniques, but the amount you'll need for the new tier will probably be like 3 times as much.
Oh.
So that alone will be brutal. But so right now, when you finish DD3, you get a lot of stuff. And one of the first things you'll run out of are the normal catalysts, just the superior health, superior resistance, those are what you actually run out of. So if nothing changes, I predict the superior normal catalyst, which, like, if you're doing raids at a high level, you're getting orange gear and orange elite gear orbs constantly. You should be good on them, but the items take so much and you just, you don't get a crazy amount of them.
There's 2020 blog post, the roadmap, the rest of 2020. Anything else stand out to you? I know there's a bunch of things. Any thoughts on any of this? Any quick thoughts?
Yeah, competitive PvP sounds amazing. I can't wait. Yes. There are a lot of people who haven't or won't PvP with me for a variety of excuses, and I hope
scared.
That
are they scared?
Because, you know, it's a distinct possibility. Some of them go with like, that's against my principles, I just don't like you, whatever, but I am looking forward to them having to PvP me for rewards.
All right.
You know, at the very least you'll get like, oh, I don't care about those rewards.
All right.
Or whatever.
All
right. That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Rewards. Rewards for it. 2020 roadmap. Come on.
Well, they wouldn't call it like a competitive PvP unless they were saying like it'll be for rewards. So there was that. I don't remember the 2020 roadmap off the top of my head, but there were a few things that I know I was excited
for.
Dark
Dimension 4, new story modes, some cosmic
always happy
mystic,
for new
right?
content.
Challenge tiers, Greek raid difficulty selectors, blitz adjustments.
Yep. Excited for that as
well. Squad management and Wolverine as the new daily login. I haven't asked your prediction yet.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do? It says instead reward a different type of resource. Do you think shards? Do you think orange catalyst that we're talking about or something else?
Yeah, I think it'll be something late game. On purpose, but I don't know if they know, but you know, they'll give us something that we want. Maybe it'll be like, you'll just get passive ABCs or something, or training modules. I don't know, something that people want.
Beast. All right. My thing is, the X-Men, they are a very good team without Beast. With Beast, they're a better team. But how much better? How much value does he bring to your roster here? That's where I'm kind of confused on this character. Are you just as confused with me, or can you explain why Beast is a valuable character?
So Beast is, he's an all right like solo character, because he has synergy with a lot of characters, but he brings a lot to the X-Men.
Okay.
And I really like what he brings to the X-Men, which we'll talk about. But so yeah, I have been playtesting Beast quite a bit, and I have a video. I'm hoping I can release this tomorrow, but it's going to be the next video that I release. Okay. Beast added to the X-Men, I think, makes them hands down the second best team in the game, behind Black Order. There's that sleep deprivation kicking in. Okay. But yeah, just behind Black Order, they're like the second best. And so Beast's main strength is that he really makes them better for campaigns and for some raids, situationally, mm-hmm. because his cadence, like out the gate, is like special, which is his heal. Then his ultimate, which gives him energy, and then he can immediately heal again the next turn. So like, he does a fair amount of healing, so he gives them good sustain, and all the buffs that he gives them is incredible. One of the really nice things that he adds is he does offense up on his ult second turn. So even if Phoenix hasn't died, which if you've healed her and given her other buffs, Phoenix has a much higher chance of still being alive. You're still giving offense up to Cyclops, so you can still do like a guilt-free ultimate. You might not have the defense downs from Dark Phoenix, but you can still offense up Cyclops ult with all the charges. And yeah, it's a lot of damage. And it's a little bit quicker because he's giving everyone speed up. And yeah, so, and then separately for Raid, giving Storm double charges is amazing. Just
he does make Storm better. I will admit that. A lot of his value is what he does for Storm on her basic.
And he makes Storm a lot better, because you can charge her up in one node now. So she's like practical to charge up in Ultima 7. So yeah, I really like his comboing with Storm.
And you still can use the ultimate or the special probably once per raid though, because they have such long cooldowns. So
So that's the other thing is I don't like that they made this 50% because it's like kind of unreliable. But if there's a node where you want to gamble on the special with Beast, half the time that you do the special, you keep all the charges. So you can, if you want, ult the very next turn. You probably wouldn't need to with everyone stunned, but you get the point.
Yeah.
So that helps too. So Beast really makes her better. But the most surprising thing for me, to give you an idea of how much better Beast makes the X-Men, is that at even power, completely even power, which is, you know, punch-ups are more impressive, but a completely even power, a Beast X-Men can beat Black Order.
Really?
Not reliably, but they can do it.
Okay.
I don't recommend it.
And what is that? That's a Storm Cyclops version?
No, I believe it's the Psylocke Beast Cyclops and then Phoenix Colossus.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I recorded some footage of it, so I'm gonna make that a video. And again, I hope to get that out tomorrow, but so it's not.
You got a bunch of videos to release before 30, my friend.
No, that's the one I've been talking about. Cool. Yeah, that's this one. But but yeah, Beast makes them quite a bit better. I am surprised. I thought Beast would not make up for what some of the other characters could bring, but I now feel like Beast should always be on the team. Beast makes them better in every way. I pretty much never want to leave
every
Beast
single
off.
Game mode.
Yeah, I think Beast is a staple. I think now it's you always want Phoenix, Colossus, Beast, and you almost always want Cyclops. It's very rare that you don't want Cyclops, which means you kind of have that rotating spot for Psylocke, Storm, or Wolverine, and it's almost never Wolverine. Wolverine, like, the best thing Beast did is make it so Wolverine is just off the team. Like, just there's no reason to use Wolverine now, unless you just don't own Beast.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Like, yeah, he has synergies with Psylocke and Cyclops, and who cares? Just, no, use
Young
Beast.
Young Avengers. I guess.
Yeah, yeah, he's the missing hero brawler that yes. they've been waiting for. Yeah, yeah. Nope. Even for that, give me Gamora.
Come on, Wolverine. Wolverine needs some love now. I've been pushing for a Hulk. He got a little bit of love. He needs more.
Yeah, Wolverine can go be on a team with Hulk.
Wolverine needs even more love.
Wolverine can go be on a team with Hulk. It can be Hulk, Wolverine, and the three Ravager minions, and it can be called Team Neglected by the Devs.
All right, superior basic catalysts. We were just talking about the lack of these. Advanced basic catalysts, improved basic catalysts. In the Blitz store right now, the costs are pretty crazy, though, but I can see in a pinch someone getting desperate needing these things. What are your thoughts on this? Too expensive, or have you spent all your Blitz currency already?
I pretty much spend all my Blitz currency just on war stuff, yeah. on the war energy and the war boosts, because when you're in a competitive enough war alliance, it's kind of expected. Right, and some, well, yeah, we'll get to that. And sometimes they put new characters in the Blitz store, so then you're like really spreading your Blitz expenditure. So that is just for like the people who have just, they've just been sitting on massive amounts of Blitz credits and they can't spend them fast enough.
Blitz spotters. So like, it's for the Blitz spotters. Spend their credits.
Sure. Pretty sure they got banned, but yeah. So yeah, it's basically just like, hey, don't sit on giant piles of Blitz credits here. You can buy this. And it's like, they have a lot of these in a lot of different game modes where it's like, it's not necessarily this is the most affordable. It's if you have nothing better to get with them. And so it's kind of like the Kingpin orbs in Arena. Like,
and this, the Ultimate Store, the Kingpin orbs, all of them. Yes, right. they have that for every mode.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, if you have an abundance of this currency, nothing to spend it on, you can have something for it. Like, we don't want you to surge ahead in terms of, you know, just like, oh, now I have triple the income of this resource. Woo, bottleneck gone. They don't want that. But they also are like, all right, like, we get that you want something for it. So at least every once in a while, you get to cash in for something and, you know, slowly get ahead.
All right, the worst kept secret is here. Dr. Octopus officially confirmed, and the unlock for Dr. Octopus is X-Force. So, before we get to the X-Force unlock, what are your thoughts on Dr. Octopus?
I like Doc Ock as a character. Yes. And what they've shown us that this Octavius, Doc Ock is going to do.
Octavius.
Yeah, I like Otto Octavius.
Otto.
Look, I like Olivia Octavius too. She was cool. I would prefer classic Doc first, but like if we get
which Olivia, we're getting, so yes.
Right, but if we get the other Doc Ock, like I'm cool with that too. I have no issue with her as a character, but I'm glad we got bowl cut classic Doc Ock with the Jamaican colors. That's the way to do it. He's the truest Doc Ock. And I like that they went with a suggestion, which a lot of people have been suggesting this for a long time. I don't know if this is 100% true, but to the best of my recollection, the first time I remember seeing the suggestion of what if he could summon the sixth member of Sinister Six, the first time I saw it, it popped up in my stream chat. And then I was like, that's a really cool idea. I doubt they'd ever do something like that, but that's super cool. And I wish they would. I have a habit of saying like, that would be super awesome, but I don't have enough faith in them to deliver on something that awesome. I said about PvP too. I was like, PvP would be amazing, but I don't think we'll ever get it. And then, proved me wrong.
Surprise.
But yeah, so Doc Ock summoning the sixth member of Sinister Six is awesome, but I have concerns about that. With only a couple exceptions, pretty much every legendary character is a very, very strong solo character. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to give Doc Ock a fully functional second character only when he's on the Sinister Six with all of them, I worry that they won't be able to make him strong enough off that team.
Mm.
I want to see him. That's
kind of the debate. Do you think it's going to be like clone status, like a Mr. Sinister level clone to give him more viability? Okay. Not the first team with six full members.
No, I don't think we'll get six full members, but it could happen depending on what they make his kit do. But I think they struck a good sweet spot. Now that I have a max Mr. Sinister, and it's not really a great sweet spot for a non-max Mr. Sinister, but a max Mr. Sinister, his clones are like just the right power where like they take some hits and they're kind of there. They're like a mid-range power character. The actual reduction they get is they lose 70% health and they lose 30% damage, but they still benefit from like health passives, the full amount. So like when you clone a Phoenix, yes, that Phoenix is losing 70% health, but then she's getting 30% max health from if you already have a Phoenix on your side of the field.
Yeah.
And like the clone is only supposed to be at 30%, so she ends up with double health. So a lot of times it's pretty reasonable. Therefore, that says to me that just if it functions exactly the same as Mr. Sinister, that you want the Rhino, who will gain all the extra health from the other members of the Sinister Six and hopefully get to keep it.
Well, but that kind of leads me to my next question, because we'll get to the actual characters that we're talking about in the rumor section. But the rumor is that there are two more Sinister Six characters coming to the game. Now, if we have the current five in the game, we add Dr. Octopus. The sixth one naturally is the one that's not in the game. But if we have two more, is this a random choosing of these characters, or how is that going to work? Do you have to have these characters on your roster? So if you're missing one of these, it's going to choose the other. What are you expecting? How are you thinking this is going to work?
I don't know. But the way they phrased it was he will summon the missing member. They didn't say a missing member. They said the missing member. So they might not give, even though the new characters they're introducing are people who have been on Sinister Six, they might not give them the Sinister Six tag. They might just give them Spider-Verse or some other tag.
Okay.
And then I could be totally off base here, but isn't like Morbius like sort of a Spider-Man villain in the Spider-Man universe?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
I'd have to double check, but I think this is timing out around when like the Morbius film was supposed to have some buzz for it going on.
Okay.
And again, I could be just misremembering this completely.
This the Halloweenish type character, so that would fit.
Yeah.
October coming up and around September.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. Just going off what they wrote, he'll summon the missing Sinister Six, which meant you'll always know who you're getting. Like loading in and like, come on, give me that one in three. No, I got character.
That does make sense. You know, characters come to the game that are a part of the Sinister Six, but maybe not getting that tag. So it makes it a more reliable team, a more reliable summon. But his unlock is something that has been data mined. It didn't have what it was. I think some people like myself were still hoping that that wouldn't be the unlock method. Still hoping that it would be a flash event, but X-Force is the unlock for Dr. Octopus. I keep saying both of these doctors coming to the same time is confusing me. So Dr. Octopus, the unlock, X-Force. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think they're going to go the Black Bolt route with this and leave it very scarce for new players or free-to-play players to get this character?
So I have heard some behind-the-scenes info that said they were content with making Ebony fairly free-to-play friendly, especially like compared to Black Bolt, who was the least free-to-play friendly. Yes. So they're like, you know, a fair amount of people got Ebony on the first pass. And I've heard Doc Ock is intended to not be available to very many people on the first pass.
Huh. Okay. So,
and just to comment on, you know, you'd said I was really hoping it wasn't X-Force. The shortest way I can explain it is what they're going to make the legendary unlock is the thing that the most people are hoping it isn't.
Well, here's what I thought it could be, because there's been rumors of characters in the Spider-Verse coming for a while, and then very recently Sinister Six was rumored to be coming in August. I was thinking, you know what, it's going to be either X-Force or Sinister Six. X-Force, there's three characters that are unfarmable. The Sinister Six, it'll be these two new characters, so less. And I was hoping they would also announce beforehand, so more players would be like, all right, this is not that great of a character, but I'm gonna buy it anyway for this. And that's one thing that they did not do before this. So
look at it this way. Here's how you can look at it. They want every character to be desirable and worth buying. Like, they want every character to have a strong, this is why I need to buy this character's offer behind it. And so, you know, when they introduce just like a single character that changes up a team, where it's like Beast to the X-Men, and now they can do new stuff that they couldn't do before. Like, yeah, I want to buy that character because I already have this team. Like this team, and it's just one inclusion. I can just add this one character, and you know, power goes up. You know, adding Coulson to the Fury Shield team. So that's how they, you know, can easily sell solo characters. Then they can always sell characters tied around a legendary. So it's like Black Bolt's coming out. Like, well, now you have a reason to want Crystal. You have a reason to want Karnak. You have a reason to want to power up your Quake if you hadn't. you know, all these, you know, characters like that. So they have the characters attached to the legendary, but then they have characters that fall into the camp of, they're not one-offs and they're not a legendary's team. Like, their team is not designed to be the best team. Like X-Force, they're just an all right team who crushes it in war offense, or war offense team. But there are a fair amount of people who are just like, I don't care that much about war. You know, I only play war 3 times a week and my alliance takes one of them off, and just sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. Like, I'm not jumping through hoops to buy this whole new team so I can win one more war fight.
Yeah.
And then they go, how do we make people want to buy these? Oh, we'll make them need them to enable a whole other team to work. And so people were asking me, and I've been saying this for years now, but people keep asking me, like, when X-Force came out, they're like, should I buy this character? Should I buy this character? And I was like, if we're just evaluating it based on the character themselves, like, some of that, like, Domino on her own, she's not a crazy solo character. She is needed for the X-Force, but the X-Force themselves are just a war offense team. So, like, in the hierarchy of, like, teams you need to be prioritizing, like, a team that's good for war offense, literally 3 battles a week, not that important compared to, like, a raid team, whatever. But even back then, I was like, they want you to buy every character. And so you have to err on the side of caution. If you don't get the character,
if you want the legendaries,
it might cost you another legendary, and the legendaries are always meta changing with very few exceptions. So I hate to say it, but they've got a pretty good system where you want to.
So all the people that are upset on Reddit saying, "Hey, I wanted this offer, I wanted to be able to buy this," don't expect it to change, because the psychology makes sense. Get every offer.
Buy the character, you might miss out. Yep, and I called this too as X-Force was coming out, and I was telling people that I kept saying, like, over and over, I was like, it would not surprise me if these guys are needed for the next legendary. Like, that is a perfectly scopely thing to do. An entire team of mostly new characters that aren't individually needed for anything super important smells like an unlock to me.
All right, other thing they mentioned in the blog post is Chaos Theory returning. I always like when these events return, and question I always ask, what are you going to be using your promotion credits on? We've got a little bit of an influx over the past week or so. So what are you saving it for, any particular character?
As of right now, I'm sitting on enough silver promo credits to take anyone to 5, which is the highest you can go with silver promo. Okay. And I'm sitting on enough gold promo credits to take any one character to 7.
Okay.
And it's taking a lot of restraint, but I keep telling myself, like, just wait, and there will be another character that jumps out as, like, this is the one, or someone where it's like, you got them to 6 red early enough that it's time to pull the trigger. Like, if I'd had a 6 red Black Bolt, like, close to when he came out, I would have not had too much trouble being like, let's just take him to 7. I'm going to get, like, a good window of time where I get some real good use out of having a strong one.
Yeah.
And like, even today, I could take my 6 red Black Bolt to 7 and get good use out of him. But I'm trying to look ahead, and I don't think I'll get as much time out of him, given how far along we are. But so, yeah, I'm kind of waiting. I think the next time I see Ebony Maw available for 5, I'm going to snag him. But
okay,
yeah, we'll see. Nice. And then, I don't 7, have concrete plans.
No decision yet on 6 or 7.
As what I've always found to be more impactful than having, you know, like, one more 5 red or one more 7 red has been the power to choose, just being able to pull that trigger. And therefore, you know, like, when DD3 came around and it was like, that Sinister is, this is the way, and just easy click, no hesitation. So I just want to wait for another one of those where it's like, nah, this character is going to 7 red. We're doing it. No hesitation. So, but a lot of the characters that are really, really good right now at 7 red are perfectly good at 6 red. Like, 7 red Phoenix is amazing. 6 red Phoenix is fine. 7 red Black Bolt is amazing. 6 red Black Bolt is fine, except for, like, the very final nodes of difficulty 5 of Ultimus 7 is the only time I'm like, I kind of want him 7 red. But, you know, Symbiote Spider-Man, amazing 7 red, fine at 6. But, like, Sinister, like, no, we're going 7 red. So, yeah, just going to wait for another one of those where it's like, oh, every last percent, you get so much value out of it. Let's do it.
cool. Yeah, I'm probably saving. I'm saving mines for a little while. There's nobody really jumping out at me, so I'm just banking them and seeing what happens with the next legendary and other characters that come out. See if there's anybody really, really worthy.
Now the goal for me is it's a dangerous proposition. I just have to avoid, without realizing it, putting myself in a position where chat can donate for me to like take Squirrel Girl to 7 Red Star, some garbage like that. So
you know they will.
They tried. No. People, the day I finished DD3, people were like, what do we have to donate to get you to take someone else to 7 right now? Do Human Torch. And I was like, let me save them. Stop this.
Well, there is a finite cost on it. You know they cost, what is it, $35 for 10 of them or something like that? So.
No, it's like $49.99 for 20.
Oh, okay. My bad. All right, and this has been kind of a good trend that's been happening. The people have been getting added to these Ultimus Orbs, Basic Orbs, Premium, Mega Orbs, and removing characters from these Mega Orbs. Have you looked at that thing recently? There's a lot of good characters in there.
I get a Mega Orb like once every 3 months, so no, I don't really...
I've been saving mine. I haven't opened one for a while, so I got two. I got two that I'm saving, so maybe it'll be all good characters one day.
I have been, I look at the in-game mail where it's like, we took these characters out and put these ones in, and I'm always like, yeah, that seems like it's a step in the right direction. It may be to the point where the balance has shifted now where it's mostly good characters, but I've been saying that's what they should have done from the get-go. If you're going to have a super rare orb that gives large drops, at least make it a selection of characters most people want. Like, how are you going to make Mega Orb crazy rare and then it gives you 50 Gamora?
Yeah, I guess they were selling enough to the newer players, and now there's not enough newer players buying it. So they're like, all right, we got to take these out so some of these later game players will start to buy this thing again, because it hasn't been mega for a while, but it's getting better. It's getting better.
Yep, but less about like Negasonic and Domino going into Megas. They need to like hurry and make X-Force farmable, because they announced them as needed for a legendary event, and they announced that legendary event for September.
Back to that. We didn't even talk about that.
All right. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Dr. Octopus. All right, so yeah, we talked about Dr. Octopus. We didn't talk about the legendary unlock of X-Force as well. So, hold on. All right, so yes, Dr. Doom coming to Marvel Strike.
Nope.
Fuck. All right, Dr. Octopus coming to Marvel Strike Force. All right, and this was posted one day ago on Reddit. Yo-Yo and Minerva no longer 2%. Drops in the premium orb. They're now listed as 1.97, which does not sound like a lot, but it is 0.03 difference. And at a war of 0.05, that is a very, very large number. That looks like a small number. What are your thoughts on this number being changed?
Oopsies. They did another oopsies this week too, that we probably weren't going to bring up, which is they moved up the Magneto event, right? Because they already announced Doc Ock for September, but they already announced Ebony Maw for September and Black Bolt for August. So they had to move the legendary schedule. So they moved Magneto up, but they forgot to move up his double drop.
Oh, I saw someone complaining about that.
Yeah, Cerebro made a comment like, don't worry, from now on, double drops will always happen before the legendary event. Until oopsies.
All right, and one more thing from Reddit. I did want to bring up this post, and we see a lot of these posts, Make Fury, Starler, Permanent Events, nothing too out of the ordinary, except this one did get a response from Cerebro, so I did want to bring it to light and let the speculation begin, guys. What is going to happen with this? Thanks for the suggestion. The team is currently considering if/when one of the recurring legendary events should receive the same legendary as the Iron Man event. Where do you think the team is leaning towards on this one? Do you think they should be made permanent like Iron Man because they're not as good in today's meta? And if so, which one do you think it should be, Fury or Star-Lord?
So it kind of offends me that people are asking this question, because for me, it's like night and day. Star-Lord is a demigod character these days. In just the right situations, he's pretty useful, but Star-Lord is... He's unique in that he's an energy battery, and he's still the best individual energy battery for targeted energy funneling. But beyond that, his single target nuke does not do that much damage these days. He doesn't have crazy health these days. A chaining basic that's just a chaining basic just doesn't do that much these days. And his unavoidable blinds are like kind of nice, but that doesn't carry his kit. Like his energy and his blinds, they don't carry his kit. He's a demigod character these days, and he could get the Iron Man treatment, and I think that'd be fair and to free up some space in the rotation.
All
right, the Nick Fury suggestion upsets me.
Hold on. Not as the worst character. Let me play devil's advocate there. Giving the newer players a bone, giving them Nick Fury, because it's such a horrible unlock for all these Kree, saying, hey, farm these Kree whenever you want, and at the end of the tunnel, there is a light.
So I wouldn't be opposed to it if they decided to just like be friendlier to newer players. Like, I'm always okay with that. But for me, the reason I have trouble like getting behind that is because when Iron Man got bumped down, it was like, yeah, but he wasn't a real legendary anyway. And if they gave that same treatment to Star-Lord, I'd be like, I get it. Like, yeah, he's a legendary, but look at every other legendary. He's not a real legendary anymore. He's just like I think Emma Frost is just better than him. And she's just a character. You know what I mean? Okay. So, but Nick Fury, people have been suggesting that. They're like, Nick Fury's not even good anymore. People are crazy. First off, the red star change to Nick Fury summons makes a huge difference. And most people these days like don't have a gear tier 14, 7 red star Nick Fury that they can really see what he can still do. He's still very, very, very good. And so one of the teams that we did with the team tier list is the non-minion shield team. And a lot of people are like, what is the non-minion shield team? The non-minion shield team is like Yo-Yo, Fury, Coulson, Quake, and it does have medic on it, but a lot of the non-minion teams have like one designated unit that already doesn't fit on the minion version of the team. Kind of like how like Cyborg sits off on the Kree Ronin and the minion team. But anyway, so not only is Nick Fury like pretty solid, he's still like on any hero's team, 50% chance to give out an assist, which is awesome. He's still, if he gets a crit on his basic, I think he rewinds turn meter, which is great. And his ult and his special are both really cool. The ult, obviously, he's summoning multiple decently strong minions and they work well with him because, you know, like if you get two securities, one can slow and then the next can stun. The operative can steal buffs and like, his special, giving everyone any buffs he has, if you just pair him with Yo-Yo, that gets so much crazier. Because Yo-Yo has, I think, a 50% chance on any non-minion shield team, like team member's turn to give them evade.
Yeah.
So if you literally just run Yo-Yo and Fury, Yo-Yo has a good chance of going, hey, Fury, have an evade. And then like operative just steals like one other buff for him, like here, have a death proof. And then Fury's like, hey, everyone, have defense up, speed up, offense up, counter, evade, death proof. Your team just gets god mode immediately.
All right. So the better character, the better character. I think they should give the better character, but without even discussing the which character, we haven't even talked about if you think they're going to do this. Do you think this is something that they would do?
Yeah.
Yes,
I do. I think they're starting to realize like they want to have the legendary, like they want the legendary events to be, you know, a certain distance apart in terms of rarity. Like they want you to wait like, oh, I can't wait for this event to come back.
Yeah.
But if they keep adding new legendary characters, they can't get to a point where it's like, oh, if you miss them this time, you can get them in a year and a half. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they have to make space in the schedule.
Okay.
So they either have to be like, different legendary event every week, hooray, or they have to be like, all right, let's start pulling people off that list. And the ones to pull down into the legendary but permanent legendary, like I said, I see it as like a mark of disgrace. Like Iron Man, you're a disgrace to legendary, you're fired, whatever it is.
You're probably right. I'm hoping they give that Nick Fury to the community.
See,
after suffering through farming all those Kree minions.
Look, if they say we're doing this to help new players, then I can get behind it. But I see it as like the
emotion status.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Iron Man. We're gonna have to let you go. All and right. So if someone's gonna get that sit down and like, look, we're downsizing our legendaries. We got a lot of them, and yeah, we don't like, you can still hang out in the legendary club, just not at the 5-star exclusive. Okay. You can still come to the Christmas party. whatever. So yeah, I don't mind seeing Star-Lord get tapped down. I'd be sad if Nick Fury got the shaft. He doesn't deserve it quite yet.
I don't know. I see it as a upgrade for new players rather than a demotion for Nick Fury.
If they spin it that way, I'll tell you this. When they did it to Iron Man, we were all like, serves him right.
Well, he's,
we were like, never, yeah, new players.
Even when he was released, you were like, this is not a legendary character. He never was good. At least you're like, oh, this character is really good.
Hey.
Iron Man never was good.
Yes, he was. Iron Man was pretty good in the soft launch and like the first month of the game.
White Queen, Emma Frost, we got the end game announcement. No date attached, though, and no release method. What are you suspecting? We have a Blitz for Beast coming up this week. We have a Squirrel Girl event going on right now. The other method they like to release characters is milestones. Do you think she is a milestone release character?
I think that she will either be like the new standard milestone character, like Symbiote Spider-Man, or she'll be a Blitz milestone release like Cyclops, Ghost Rider, that type. Ooh. I think odds are very high that she is one of those two. So
I think if it was down to those two, I would pick the replacements for Symbiote Spider-Man, because we did just look up the dates. It kind of does release around 7 days, and you said these come around every 7 days or so. So that seems likely. And it seems like we just had a bunch of these blitzing milestones. You know, we had two in a row, the Fun in the Sun and the other one. And it seems like it would be too soon for that. So it seems likely that it's the milestone release.
Yeah. And it's possible they'll do just more back-to-back Blitz releasing. They've done that before where they have...
So fun.
Yep. No, I'm thinking milestone. And they have a habit of making milestone characters 100 shard unlock too. Or at the very least doing it for like the Blitz milestone ones. So not always, but yeah, they have a habit of doing it. And it's just like it keeps... when they do it as milestone, far fewer players end up like having them at super high star, because you usually can't buy orbs for them. So Emma, being as good as she is, she kind of falls into the same category as like Symbiote Spider-Man, where it's like she's just really good, non-legendary, just really good. So I think like Symbiote Spider-Man, the goal is like, all right, we'll make her really good, but you're gonna get her kind of slowly no matter what. Like some characters they just put out as like everyone is getting this character kind of slowly. Even the massive whales are still getting them kind of slowly, because maybe they'll have like an offer right when the milestones kick off. But yeah, they usually don't just like have the orbs in the store where you can just buy them up. So yeah, Emma seems that way for me. They're gonna keep her desirable for a while because she's damn good.
Oh, that does make sense. I was looking forward to unlocking her day one. Her kit looks so good, but it also makes sense that it is so good that it's a milestone.
But, I mean, they could still have offers for her. Like in the past, they've done like...
Have they had it for Symbiote Spider-Man and Captain Marvel and Coulson?
Yes. Not for all of them, but for some of them, they had it right before the milestones. For some of them, they did it right at the end of the milestones.
Okay.
They've experimented with like when is the best time to attach an offer to this otherwise really hard to get character.
What is the most recent one? Is it before the milestones go off? Is that... We're looking
This is Symbiote Spider-Man's having multiple returns, so I forget who it was just before him, but I think they did one right before
Was it Coulson?
I think Symbiote Spider-Man had an offer before his milestones kicked off the first time.
Okay.
And I think at that time, that might have been the first time we saw that, and we're like, ooh.
Okay.
For once, we don't have to wait.
Before that, the big milestones was Coulson and Captain Marvel. So I don't think Captain Marvel had that offer, because I think
she had one after the fact.
Yeah, and a bunch now, but and then Coulson, I don't know if he had one.
Coulson
did not. I specifically remember Coulson did not, because we were like, I wanted to buy him, and they were so dumb to not making an offer. Everybody's gonna buy him, and it was like, oh, they're so smart, because now we gotta spend a lot of gold and all this stuff. So I remember Coulson did not, but. Wasn't sure about Symbiote Spider-Man.
I think Symbiote Spider-Man did, and probably because of my freaking comments saying like, no, you should have had an offer. Everyone would buy him. And they're like, Cha-ching!
It's because the strike was going on. That's why they had an offer for Symbiote Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
All right, and it is my favorite time of the show. So no new rumors this week, but talking about some older rumors about the past. We talked about a couple Sinister Six characters, and Drew has been trying to be very sneaky, but the people have guessed Electro and Swarm. What are your thoughts on this character before we move on to that third character?
I don't know Swarm that well, but...
I don't either. He's surrounded by bees, apparently.
Yeah, so sometimes they come out with characters where, like, I'm not that familiar with the character, but then everyone in, like, a stream chat is like, oh, no, in the comics, like, this character's a big deal. Like, it's crazy that this character hasn't made it into a movie yet because this character's all over the place in the comics. I'm like, okay, so I'm just out of the loop. But with Swarmed, it's one of those characters where most people are like, yeah, like he made some appearances in the comics, but you know.
Do you think he'll have to have a very, very strong kit just because he's not as familiar to just common fans of comics?
I mean, all any character needs is a niche kit. It doesn't even have to be crazy strong. They just have to be the only person that can do.
I mean, but Gambit comes out. Even if he sucks, there's going to be a lot of people that buy Gambit just because he's Gambit. Yes. You know, so Swarm, there's nobody that's going to be Spy Swarm because he's Swarm. They're going to have to buy him.
Yeah, there's like
good,
three so. People who are like, Swarm, yeah! But yeah, no, I agree. But like I said, like it doesn't have to be like, oh, well, this character's kind of unpopular, so let's make him a god. Because like with Minerva? When America Chavez hit, most people were like, who?
Minerva?
Whatever.
Minerva?
Right. Well, but Minerva was an accident. I don't know if I ever told this story, but
you told it to me. I don't know if you told it publicly.
What I heard through the grapevine is that the person who was working on Minerva knew that they were going to be not working on Marvel Strike Force in the not too distant future, and they wanted to stick in a really good cosmic healer before they left. And they were like, hopefully, no one notices how OP I made this character. And then they did.
this is the rumor section, guys. So yeah. These are all rumors. They're all hearsay, may or may not be true. Yeah.
It's also entirely possible that person was like after the fact, like, oh, yeah, I totally did that on purpose. Because
that is also true. That is, I mean, that is also possible that it could be true. So you know, I don't know. I don't know.
But was Swarmed. Electro. I think it was. Oh, well, so Electro. I think is awesome. Electro, I'm mad that we didn't already have. Like Electro is probably my favorite Sinister Six member. I know that's kind of controversial just because a lot of people really like a lot of the other Spider-Verse villains, but like I've always thought Electro was really cool, except when he was actually in a Spider-Man movie. Then he was the least cool thing ever. He tried to kill Spider-Man because Spider-Man forgot his birthday. Boo frickety who. But
he's insane.
Anyway.
He's supposed to do like irrational things.
He wasn't even cool insane. He was like emo insane.
All right, anyway. But yes. Now, I guess my further question on these two characters, they are members of the Sinister Six in the comics. We kind of alluded to it may be a little too random for that team to work, so maybe these guys will end up on other teams. Do you know enough about these characters to know, could they possibly be ending up on other teams just so that Sinister Six team is a little more reliable?
Yeah, I mean, they could just give them Spider-Verse, right? They could just give them Spider-Verse tag, and then they have a whole bunch of people they can work with.
Oh, that'd be a shame if they don't get Sinister Six and they get Spider-Verse, but...
I mean, not necessarily, because depending on how good they are, they wouldn't need the Sinister Six tag. For certain synergies, they would, but it could be like, well, if you didn't get Doc Ock on the first pass, Electro is super good, and with all his... And it could even just be like villain Spider-Verse perks and stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, he's unofficial Sinister Six, whatever it is. So yeah, no, they could absolutely make it work. Like I said, I'm looking forward to Electro. But so you're only talking about those two.
There's one more.
Right. Okay. We got.
All right. So the clue was the limbs that could not get cut off, and many people just assumed right away, Zemo, Baron Zemo. Hydra, what would Hydra be needing right now in the game to make them even better? Because they're already a pretty scary war defense team.
So interestingly, Baron Zemo, if he's coming to the game, this is around the time that the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was supposed to be ready to come out.
So we'd be expecting reworks for them. If,
well, so you said, what does Hydra need? Hydra needs Winter Soldier to not be such a pansy. And Hydra needs Crossbones to not be so useless. So many factions have the minion team and the non-minion team.
Okay.
So I want non-minion Hydra. I want non-minion Hydra. I want Red Skull, Zemo, Winter Soldier, Crossbones, and pick your favorite.
Swarm and Electro.
Are they? I don't know if they have Hydra affiliations, but...
I know Swarm has affiliations to Germany around the same time. I don't know if it's actual Hydra.
Wow. So there's always Armless Tiger Man. He did some work with Hydra.
Oh yeah, but can't forget him.
But I want non-minion Hydra. Make Winter Soldier great again.
Cool. Well, we will see what happens.
Winter Soldier used to be arena meta. He really did. Yeah, like 2.5-3 years ago, Winter Soldier was arena meta. Make Winter Soldier great again. Everyone likes Bucky. Even though they gave us villain Bucky, everyone likes Bucky.
Anyway, that was the news, brother. It is always a pleasure, my friend. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Discord.gg/casino is the best place. We got tons of resources, and that's where I'm updating Blitz predictions, infographics, videos, announcements. Just if you want to know what's going on in the world of casino, there's a casino announcements channel on that Discord server, and I post everything there first. So
sweet,
that's the best place.
And are you releasing stuff? You have stuff in the queue to be released while you're away?
Yep.
Nice.
I had a video go live as I was boarding the plane today.
Ooh, sweet, sweet. So yes, keep checking out his channel, even while he's away, because there may be some surprise live streams, right?
And yeah, I'm probably gotta do a birthday stream, right?
Nice.
It's tradition at this point. I've been doing birthday streams for
Colorado, so you never know what's gonna happen, guys. It could be very fun.
Oh yeah, so final shout out on that. Yeah, again, if you're near Boulder or Denver and you want to meet up. Just message me on Discord and don't have COVID and we can meet up.
Cool. Then wear a mask. Cool. Yes. Thank you guys. Check him out. The links are down below. Discord is where you can find all of his stuff and all the good stuff, guys. Subscribe, like, smash the like and notification bell, guys. Yes, ring it. And I will see you guys next time. Check out some of the links down below as well. Hulk Fist Bump, Baby, Valley Flight, and Casino out. Happy birthday.